So I've got my first guest here, and he's got a couple of instruments in him, on him. Sean Koreski is here. Do you want to blow into that thing so they know what it sounds like?
Sure, I'll go ahead and do
okay,
that.
Okay, you do that. Okay, recognize that tune, of course. Do you recognize the sound? Well, some of you do if you've been involved in Andean music, am I right?
That's one of the... Pan flute music in general, yeah.
Who plays the pan flute? Welcome. Sean Koreski is here with me.
Thank you.
Concert coming up tomorrow evening at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. That's 16th and Franklin. Tickets at the door. Here's the one, the part that you need to remember. The concert starts at 6 p.m., okay? 6 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria. That's kind of unusual. And it's really nice because it gives you time to take in lots of things going on tomorrow night. So, Sean, first just tell us, where did you come to us from?
I came from Vancouver, Washington today.
Okay. Yeah. And now tell us, where's the pan flute come from?
Well, I actually have two different pan flutes with me. One is from South America. And then the one I just played right now as a demonstration, this is a European pan flute, if you can believe it. It's from East Europe.
It's closed at the bottom.
It is closed at the bottom, yeah. All pan flutes are like that. You
really?
Just blow across the top, and that's where the sound comes out.
Okay, hold on, though. Mm-hmm. I've never seen one that had a whole... that's gorgeous, but the entire piece of wood, yeah.
The wooden base on the bottom,
yeah. Is
that
just an artistic touch, or is that...
It is.
European
style? It's partly,
style?
It makes it strong. It also makes it very comfortable to hold.
Yes.
This is definitely European style. Both of these are made of bamboo, but they're different kinds.
How is that?
This is a much thicker kind of bamboo for the European one. And it adds an extra advantage.
How's
you
that?
Can play two notes per pipe. You can play up the scale. Of course, it goes very high.
Yes. Ouch!
Yeah.
And which came first? What's the origin of the pan flute?
The pan flute, in general, is one of the oldest instruments in the world. There have been some evidence to show actual instruments they found at least 5,000 years back. And then, of course, they believe even further back than that.
And which part of the world did they find those?
In reality, it's interesting. They've been found everywhere. Anything hollow that could be found to blow over, they've been made of bone, clay, wood, even bird feathers. There have been different kinds of pan flutes made from bird feathers everywhere. Did you know even Vikings played pan flutes? You know.
So, who decided to call it a pan flute?
In English, it gets that name because we know of Greek mythology. There was a god named Pan, the god of wine and so on, and with horns and goat legs. But he was famous for playing the pan flute, which they would call fistulis, is what they would call in Roman Latin. But
does that mean hole?
Fistulis.
Yeah. Because a fistule in the... it's not a pretty term, but...
I suppose it may have something to do with that. Modern understanding, but, the fact that they're hollow tubes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it refers to hollow tubes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we, in modern English, just began to refer to it as the pan flutes. Sometimes in England, they would call it the Pandean pipes.
Hmm.
And if you can... It's interesting how extensive this instrument was earlier. It's almost unknown in England at this time.
Oh.
But England had a tradition up until the mid-1800s of pan flutes. They were called Pandean bands, and they would play pan flutes and drums.
Do other parts of Europe feature the pan flute at this time?
Absolutely. This style here is like the national style of Romania.
Ah.
But all throughout Eastern Europe, which my family is from Poland, And they also play this type of pan flute in Poland. And I actually learned to build it. This pan flute that I brought with me is one I built.
This one you're holding in your hand.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh,
it's beautiful.
And there's another instrument. I'm presenting some pretty unique styles, styles that have been kind of lost in time, so to speak, because I'm going to play this pan flute along with a chamber organ. It's a pipe organ. And that's also an instrument I hand-built myself.
I have to say, I played one of your tunes from your album, which is Serenity.
Yes.
And someone was here in the studio with me, and when I said that that was Sean playing both instruments, he said, well, those are different tracks, aren't they? And I said, I don't think so. Sean is going to be playing the pan flute and the pipe organ at one time. Am I correct?
There's a little trick with that.
Okay.
One of the wonderful things about a pipe organ
is
that it can be made something like a player piano. You know how a piano could play by itself? This pipe organ I designed specifically so it could play the background part without me needing to, of course, sit down at the keyboard. Of course, as you, I mean, the listeners out there can't see the pan flute, but this takes both hands.
Yes, it does.
So there's no way I could sit at a keyboard per se.
I couldn't figure it out.
It would be hard, yeah.
Okay.
So without it getting too complicated with it, it's just it is a self-playing pipe organ. So then that was made to be sort of my personal orchestra.
So do you program the, do you play the organ and then program it in so it plays back for you?
Exactly, at the same time? And the only part that is that is modern, so to speak, is basically that part. The rest of the organ is, it's all pipes. They're all wooden pipes.
Is that it on your album?
That's it on the back of the album.
It's another beautiful instrument. Where did you learn to build the instruments? Did you play them first and then decide you needed to build your own or vice versa?
Played them, studied them. I had kind of a unique preoccupation as a kid because I liked to study pipe organs. I mean, lots of kids were into, you know, race cars, motorcycles, things like that.
Right.
But I would get books on pipe organs, but I'd also study the ones I could see in person and look at them and just, I don't know, my mind just seemed to capture all of those little details. And then one day I figured I'd just give it a shot. I had built a few smaller organs before this one that's going to be at the concert. This one's fairly large, but it is made so that I can bring it from place to place. Because a lot of people don't get to experience that either. They don't get to experience the pan flute. It's very rare. And of course, the pipe organ is very rare. And they get to hear both of these instruments live at my concerts. So I'm able to bring something really unique.
So just so I can get my head around it, how many instruments will you have with you tomorrow evening, 6 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin in Astoria?
Well, one of the unique things, I'm going to have, of course, my main pan flute, which is this classical pan flute, the European one. I'll have a selection of South American pan flutes, too, to show the variety of pan flutes. I'll be playing mostly classical, but I'll also be slipping some folk music in, South American folk music. That's going to be some flamenco guitar with pan flute. And that,
with you playing the flamenco guitar.
With me playing the guitar and the pan flute.
Wait, at the same time?
These, the South American ones are small enough that I have this holder so I can play both at the same time.
Oh, my goodness. It's like what people set up for their
for harmonicas.
You've got it set up for the pan flute.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this is a harmonica holder, but I modified it so the pan flute could fit in it, and then that way I can play the guitar and the pan flute at the same time.
I love it. Go ahead and play us something, if you would.
Sure. Thank you.
Nice, very nice. Am I sensing that you get more of an airy sound out of the South American flute, or is that the way you play it, or is that...
That is the way it is. American flute is made of thinner bamboo, so that gives a more airy sound.
Okay.
It also, you lose the ability to play two notes per per pipe, but the European one is a more pure tone. There's less air in it because they're thicker pipes, and you get the added advantage of playing all the notes in the scale versus...
Yeah, and do you have the same number? I can't tell because those are so much bigger, the European one.
This Andean one is 15 pipes,
okay,
and this European one is 22.
Ah, okay, okay. Oh, man, that is... I've never seen anything like the European one. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very... They take a long time to build. You can see the construction of the South American one is much more basic. It's the pipes are just tied together.
Right.
This is maybe a day or two worth of work. This one, this pan flute, I just built it recently. I finished it a couple weeks ago, and it took me about 3 weeks to build it. And that's with a lot of experience. Without experience, it would take much longer.
And you choose because the pipes decrease in size, in diameter, don't they? Yes.
That's correct.
Only slightly, though.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you get your bamboo? And that must take a long time, too, just choosing the bamboo, and it has to be just the right size.
That's right. Out of a pile of bamboo, I only come out with a few pipes. A lot of it goes to the fireplace. I have... there's a distributor in Portland, Oregon, Bamboo Craftsman. I get a lot of the bamboo there, but I have to go around to different, of course, gardening stores and everything to find the bamboo because, you know, out of a whole bunch of bamboo, I can only get a few that are really worth taking.
Right.
And then this bamboo is treated, baked in an oven and so on. So there's a long process in just getting it ready. And then, of course, the finished product is like a, it's solid like a board. I mean, you can see that it's, they're not tied together. These are joined together, kind of like bamboo flooring almost, you know.
Wow.
So it's a really solid instrument when it's done.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sean, I want to play something from your album in the classical mode. Which one shall I play?
Well, we've got...
Do you remember which...
Yeah,
you know which is which? You tell me what
you
number...
You caught me there. Let's see.
Ahead. Tell me
If you want something... a favorite of mine is Spagnoletta, track number 2.
I played that one
If you've played
time,
that one,
yes.
Then why don't we go... We can go with a good classic that maybe everybody will know. This is The Air on the G String by Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach. It's track number 10.
Okay, I'm going to set that up, and you're going to, in the audience, be able to hear Sean Koreski playing the European pipe with the...
Pipe organ.
Pipe organ.
Yep.
Pipe, and Sean. And this is what you will hear, both of these, tomorrow evening at the Performing Arts Center, 6 p.m.
And it looks like we got rain tomorrow, so it'd be a good thing to catch a concert.
There you go.
Yeah, a great way to spend a rainy evening.
And you live, which Vancouver do you live in?
Vancouver, Washington.
Washington. You sound a little Canadian, is why I'm asking. So.
My wife is Hispanic. We speak a lot of Spanish at home.
Yeah.
So maybe sometimes I pronounce some words a little funny.
Well, you know, if you might want to join tomorrow from 3 till 8, there's an Hispanic Heritage Festival going on in Astoria at St. Mary's, folks, 1465. So you can do that and then head over to Sean's concert. Thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for coming to Astoria to give... this concert. You've been all over the country with this. And it's a full-time occupation, I would think.
That's correct.
Good.
Yeah. Lots of dedication.
Lots. And precision, too.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so
Thank you very much,
Sean Koreski. And here is his classical piece. Let's see. I've got... I have the Air on the G String by Bach.
Thank you.
beautiful music by Sean Koreski. Well, Sean and Bach together made the music. And, of course, that's Air on the G String. And you can hear that tomorrow evening at the Performing Arts Center, 16th and Franklin, at 6 p.m. And right now, you can hear from my next guests, my three guests, who are here to talk about a theater production, which is coming up not this weekend, but next weekend. So you have plenty of time to get it on your calendars, September 21st and 22nd. That's Friday evening and Saturday evening at the Presbyterian Fellowship Hall. And it's called The Father. I have the director, one of the actors, and I'm not sure what Susie's title is this time. She used to be the director. Are you the producer?
Edward and I are co-directing.
Co-directing. Okay, good. Susie Brown, that was Susie you just heard. Edward James is the co-director and programmer here at KMUN. And Gigi Chadwick is one of the actors. And I know only what the rest of you know, so I'm going to turn this over to the three of them. But I will mention for you to also put on your calendar, if you can, Tuesday evening, the 18th, AAUW will be assembling a panel to talk about mental health and dementia at the Astoria Library at 6 p.m. Might help understand something from the play. And now, Shazam, you're on because I know so little.
The genesis of the play was I was looking for something to do besides the commercial theater that we all get stuck in. We get stuck in making money. Mm-hmm. We have to find projects that are guaranteed to make money. And I kind of yearned for more of a collegiate experience to find something that had some meat on the bone. And I came across this play, The Father, by Florian Zeller. It won it's pretty contemporary for one thing. It won the 2014 Molière Award in France.
Wow.
Florian Zeller is a Frenchman.
Okay.
The translation's by Chris Hampton, an Englishman. Mm-hmm. So there's elements of both in the play. The play deals with the father, and the father is old, like me. And he's going through a certain passage in his mental health. It's never called dementia particularly, but he is having problems with remembering things. And but he's only half the program, because the other half, of course, is his daughter, who's just engaged in a new romance, having to deal with what is she going to do with this man. Now, unfortunately, like many plays, it's hard to condense it, but this is exciting theater. The form of the piece is really exciting. It's episodic, a whole number of episodes, which occur somewhere in time. You're never sure where you are in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny.
Mm.
And it's also maybe a little
disturbing.
Disturbing at points. And
poignant, perhaps.
Poignant.
And I am in the play. I'm not just directing it. I am the father.
Okay.
I am the father.
The title role.
So.
Oh, boy. Okay. And Gigi, what are you? The daughter?
I am not, but sometimes I am. The daughter, Anne, is played by Rhonda, and Rhonda Alderman does a fabulous job.
Yes.
I am in the father's consciousness, or not in his consciousness, in one scene. I am the daughter.
Yes.
Basically, my name is the woman, but I play daughter.
Right.
I play a caretaker. I play a nurse. Mm-hmm. So I have a variety of different roles.
Right. And for those of us who are familiar with that mindset or lack of set, the way the mind works, it's quite common for one person to become many in the mind of someone who is slipping. So, yeah, it's quite poignant. Yeah. And how many in the cast then?
There are six in the cast. Edward, Gigi, Rhonda, and Derek Moore, William Hamm, and a young woman whom you are probably familiar with, but new to the stage, Emily Geddes.
Boy, this is quite the cast you have here. This is fantastic. And you said there's humor in it. Is that
Yeah, I think in my common dealings with people, it's funny if they don't remember certain things. Like if you have a spat and then they don't remember it, that's a great thing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I suppose there are times where it doesn't work that way, but... Yeah, there's a lot of humor in it. He's a character, for one thing, and the writing is great. I mean, I mean, won awards. Frank Langella did it on Broadway.
Oh.
Even on Broadway, it was a limited run. It was only 2 months. And I think he won the Tony for it.
Wow.
Of course, that's Frank Langella.
Yeah, that's
78-year-old Frank Langella is still going.
Yeah, and you're not even close to that, so we're not near it. Not even close. So you chose the play, and then you chose to take that role. Why?
Well, things went in a funny direction. I was going to do an encore class with this play and kind of get a notion of the class's feeling about dementia and Alzheimer's. And that didn't come through only because of timing. And then it just occurred to me that, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, we've just put those people way over here. You know, in families, they get kind of put up in the attic or put up in the back room of the house. And it's not openly discussed. It's not openly... We don't have a lot of knowledge about it. The way science is going these days, medical science is going these days, we are catching up. I mean, we are learning a whole lot. And so I wanted a learning element attached to this. And in talking to Susie got it arranged with AAUW to run this panel on next Tuesday,
which I think is an amazing gift to the community, with or without the theater. I think it's an amazing gift. Again, this is this Tuesday, the 18th of September, 6 p.m. at the library, Astoria Library, that's on 10th and Exchange. And do you have the names of the folks?
Actually, Susie does.
Yeah.
The speakers on Tuesday will be Rhonda Conrad, Mindy Stokes, Dr. Tom Duncan, and Jared Karnofsky.
Nice. So this will be a panel that will discuss and probably be open to question and answer. Any chance any of you will be there?
Oh, yes.
I think
it's a very compelling topic. I think it's relevant. It's universal.
Yeah.
We all know someone or have someone in our lives in our lives. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Getting there.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking also that people who come to this will be able to learn more about the topic and then also be able to ask you questions about, you know, because some people are afraid of things. They're afraid they're going to be triggered or they're afraid they're going to start weeping. And I think this is a good opportunity for you to be there.
Here's the magic of the piece. The piece is not a message piece. It's not... It doesn't teach you anything you don't know about
families, probably relationships.
I think it deals with a question that's really common. We all end up having to take care of our parents in one way or another and make decisions about them. But the real magic of the piece is it puts the audience in the mind of the father. It puts them in his shoes so that you experience life as he experiences it. not being able to recognize people, not being able to find his stuff.
Yeah, that's extremely valuable. I saw a piece before my mother developed dementia, which she had for 10 and a half years, called Wings. And it it was extraordinary. It just gave me such insight. Not that I was the best daughter living 3,000 miles away, but still, it really helped me to understand what I was seeing and not take things personally in a way and all that kind of stuff, but also to understand what's going on in the brain. And it's helped me today. When my brain starts wavering, I go, that's okay. I'll find somebody else like me and we can talk. This play is happening. It's a staged reading. Susie, tell us.
Yes, it is a staged reading. And it's something that AAUW does every year, staged readings. And
what does that mean?
It means that it's not a. It means that the actors are on stage with their scripts. There's quite a bit of. Well, they are acting, but they're also reading from the scripts. There are costumes. There are a few set pieces, but within less than 5 minutes, the audience is with you.
Absolutely.
On it. The stands disappear.
Yeah.
And something I wanted to say about the play is. Any audience member will probably have a moment of, I feel that way too, or, this is something I couldn't speak, and they're speaking what I would like to have said.
That's a whole another dimension that is extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cathartic.
And then some. Yeah, this is like, it feels almost as though afterwards there should be a talk back. You know, it's happening Friday night and Saturday night. The difference. Tell us the difference between Friday night and Saturday night and where people can get their tickets.
Friday night tickets can be purchased at the door. We'll open the doors at 6:15 and the Presbyterian Fellowship Hall is at 11th and Harrison here in Astoria. And then on and it's set up more in a theater with seats in rows looking up at the stage. And Saturday night is our traditional dessert theater. There will be desserts provided on Friday at intermission. But people come in, the AAUW members decorate tables on Saturday night with whatever themes they've chosen. And sometimes they choose themes that go along with the play. And you sit at the table and you bring your desserts to the table.
And watch the play.
Yes.
And it's either night is wonderful. I think the desserts are a little fancier on Saturday night, but it's up
it
to
you. It feels
fancier
because you're at a table.
You're at a table with a bunch of folks. If you want, as Susie said, Friday night tickets at the door, or you can get tickets from any member of AAUW. Call me after the show. I'll talk to you about it.
Saturday night tickets need to be sold before Saturday because we need to know how many tables to
Absolutely.
Set up.
Absolutely. So... you can call here at 503-325-0010 at 4 o'clock. And is there any other way folks can find a ticket if they don't know who AAUW members are?
They can call me, Susie Brown, at 503-791-8914.
8914, and I will have that number for you as well. I just wanted to relate back to what Susie said. The AAUW theater has been going for how many years?
Since 1985.
Yeah. It is excellent. The plays are wonderful, and stage readings, as she said, you are brought in. When you heard that cast, you know you're going to get a terrific production, and the content sounds most interesting. Thank you.
Very important to note.
Yes.
That the reason why we do this is to raise scholarship money for a class of community college students.
Right. AAUW stands for American Association of University Women, and that's what the money's for, and you don't even have to be a university woman. So you can talk to us about that, too, but do come and see the theater on Friday and Saturday night next week, and come to the Presbyterian Church, 11th and Harrison, and come to the library, Astoria Library, 11th and Exchange, this Tuesday at 6 p.m. and get more information, learn something new. Thank you so much, Edward James, and Gigi Chadwick,
thank you,
and Susie Brown.
Thank you,
much appreciate. I can't wait to see this play. Okay, I've got some music for you from Motherlode. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio.
Name your wisdom, tell your story, weaving book and lifetime in. Speak our lives, or we are lying. Name the knowing from within. How do we know? Where is our voice? Head, heart, or hands? Do we make a choice, or can we weave them together in the end? Name your passion, sing your heartbeat, join your life to all you speak. Hear our hearts, or we are dying. Name each feeling, strong and weak. How do we know? Where is our voice? Head, heart, or hand? Do we make a choice, or can we weave them together?
This is a song from Motherlode, and as most of you who listen to this know, I usually play music of an artist who's going to be in town. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, they won't be in town. But this song is called Head, Heart, and Hand. And my next guests are artists from Paris. I'm not sure if it's Gay Paris, but it's Paris, and they have a show right now, which opened last weekend at the Wake Gallery, the hidden space of the Wake Gallery. I found it today and was thoroughly delighted. So I will welcome Ariane Peek. Si, en français. Et Yves Prince.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
This is testing my français alors. So, they are visiting, and I think I'm going to do my first time an interview in two languages. So, Ariane will speak in English.
Yes.
And Yves en français alors. Ça va?
I can speak little in English, but my English is approximative.
But your pronunciation is very good. So,
merci.
So, what are you doing here?
So we're lucky to know two wonderful Asturian figures, which are Zelda English and Barry Brown. And they have the talent to discover wonderful space.
Oh, yes.
And when they saw that space, they phone us and say, hey, come, come.
Wait, all the way to France?
Yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. And so we decided not to bring our painting from France. Because, it's...
Too expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
No, it's,
and
it's,
so we decided to make like a performance and to begin everything here in Astoria. So everything is born here in Astoria.
At the opening, were you drawing there or no? It was already,
okay. But we have some other stuff that will maybe appear during the days that till the end. We are making some new stuff.
And I saw, tell me if this is true, on September 30th.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a Sunday.
Absolutely.
You are having a closing of the show,
we are
party.
Making a final party with art games. Like raffle and silent auction, and the raffle has begun yesterday. So we are selling tickets for $10. People can win art, piece of art for $10.
Well, let me give a little background for those of you in the audience. I went into this space. I had no idea. I thought it was a different space. I went in. Thank you, Jill McVarish, because this is, I can't explain, but it's almost part of the McVarish Gallery, which was the Wake Gallery. And it's a huge space, and it is completely unfinished.
Yeah.
The walls and the floor and your work looks wonderful. The name of the show?
The name is L'Éloge de la Main, All About Hands.
Yes, that's why I played this head, heart, and hands.
Yeah, and
music.
So L'Éloge de la Main is, we could translate it as praise of hands. Mm. But in English, praise, I think you use it only for funerals.
No, can mean saying something is very good.
Okay, so it is, we are trying to talk only and to paint only about beautiful things that hands can make.
And you found many, many things. Yeah. En français?
Oui.
En français.
En français. Oui. Nous sommes venus avec nos mains. We come only with your hands.
Our
hands.
En français, seulement.
Nous sommes venus seulement avec nos mains et nous avons ici acheté des toiles et... Nous avons rencontré des gens dans Astoria et nous les avons regardés et nous avons dessiné et peint leurs mains, à commencer par celle du boucher.
Okay, now, Ariane.
So we talk a lot before coming because we knew that we will have very short time here. And so, but we talk a lot together. We decide to work on the same subject. And to make a conversation, and then we wanted to make the people who will look our art to enter in this conversation, and so we make some reflection of what we wanted to show about hands, and we want to focus about. People who make things with their hands. So the like the butcher. Yeah, the butcher. And the beer, because here you have something wonderful we don't have in France. That is some wonderful breweries with unique beer. Mm-hmm. And so we make a work with one of those breweries.
You have a couple of pieces, my favorites. You had many hands. One's on the far wall and one is on the right when I come in. And they're just very strong, very powerful. Are you using charcoal or what? What are you drawing with or painting with?
We're using acrylic.
Okay.
And charcoal. Yeah, charcoal. It's pastel, oily pastel that when you put some water, it becomes aquarelle.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, it's very effective, very strong, and quite interesting and beautiful. And in that space, wow, it's perfect in that space, the rustic, the unfinished.
Yeah, yeah. What we like a lot with that space is that you can feel the hand that has built that space.
Yes.
And as it's our subject, so this is perfect.
because we have the possibility to have other beautiful place, perfect place, but we chose this place because, comme dit Ariane, there is a presence of the hands. Mm-hmm. And in her painting, there is the story of the hands, because for example, for me, I work for cinema in Paris. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of posters, for example. And in my proposition, you have some picture, three or two pictures, like a movie. Mm-hmm. And in my painting, you have this, some part, it's only a sketch, mm-hmm. the croquis.
Sketch.
And after, you have more, beaucoup plus travaillé, mm-hmm.
more, lot more work.
Yes, yeah. And it's you have on my work the presence of the effective work of the hand.
Right.
Yeah.
So now I understand what you do. What do you do in Paris?
So in Paris, I'm working on theater. I am an actor. An actress and also I'm a director and I was there last fall and I wrote here a play about the armistice, which is the centenary this November.
Yes.
And so I wrote a play, I make an adaptation of a Swiss author, which is called Blaise Cendrars, and we have to come back to France because I have to direct that play for November.
I was going to say you have to come back here and direct it here. So
with pleasure.
We would love to have you come back.
With pleasure.
But right now they are here, and if someone wants to talk to you,
stay there.
You'll come to the gallery.
We stay there till the end of the exhibition. Sunday 30th.
Okay. Ariane Peak and Yves Prince at Wake's Secret Gallery. That's the address is 160 10th Street. It's just to the left of the McVarish Gallery. You go all the way back, and it is well worth a look. And remember that on September 30th, there will be a big party.
A big potluck party. So everyone is welcome and can bring homemade with the hand food.
There you go. I love it. Thank you so much. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you.
It's lovely to meet you and wonderful to see your work.
Thank you so much.
Bon voyage when you go back and bon voyage when you come back to us.
Thank you so much.
Merci beaucoup.
Merci à vous. And folks, I'm going to put on a little bit of music from my last guest, and Bree Gregg will be coming in immediately. Stay tuned, Coast Community Radio.
Tired of running wild, ready to stand trial and move on. Though I'm guilty in your sight, have some mercy tonight. Oh, I can't fight this fight alone. Oh, my love, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it on out. But please, shine a light on me to free from this shadow of doubt. Yeah.
Stay tuned, folks. I've got two guests and no time, but I'm going to tell you a little bit. What number shall I put on?
Number one.
number one. I'm going to put number one here. And we only have a couple of minutes. Pardon my unhealthy state of affairs, but it's good to be here with you on Coast Community Radio anyway. And Bria is in the room with me, as is...
Dan Gilday.
Say it again.
Dan Gilday.
Dan Gilbay.
Yeah. Gilday.
D-E-A.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I know. So Gil Irish.
D-E-A.
Yeah.
D-E-A.
Yeah. It's French
I tell you, who would know how to say these things? So, Bria is going to be playing tonight, this very night, at Kala.
Yes.
That's K-A-L-A, Kala, 1017 Marine Drive. And it's a terrific venue. And I heard Bri at the Bonnie Raitt tribute, which I think, didn't you put it together?
I did, yeah. I produced that show. Yeah. And we do it in Portland. And we had a little tour, and then we did it up in right outside of Long Beach last year.
It was fantastic. You don't need,
No, I don't need him. No, she's amazing like that.
Yeah, she's amazing like that. And she's an amazing musician, singer.
Oh,
she's a great writer, too. I mean, the music she writes, it's just phenomenal. Whoa. It's going to be so much fun tonight. I'm not kidding.
Please come if you're listening out
there. It is. And I do have to give a tip that if you can't possibly come tonight, you can possibly see Bri tomorrow evening at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock. Tonight is 8 o'clock at Gala in Astoria, tomorrow in Long Beach at 7 o'clock at the, I call them the PPAC, Peninsula Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
So I do want to let folks know quickly, as a matter of fact, can you play a little something in the background there while I just tell folks some other stuff that's happening, and then we'll just go right up to the edge talking.
Okay, sounds good.
Because this weekend is the Manzanita Music Festival, and hopefully you caught Ron Baldwin's interviews on Wednesday. Barn Community Playhouse, God of Carnage, Peninsula Rhythm and Blues Festival all weekend, Sandtrap, Eric Kaiser, Public Coast Brewing, Sammy Ruisi, and Barney Perrine at the North Beach Tavern in Long Beach. The Hispanic Heritage Festival is from 3 to 8 tomorrow. Don't miss that. Hoffman, Cannon Beach Gallery has a gallery talk at 3. Hoffman at 7. CB Gallery reception 4 to 6. Sean is at the Performing Arts Center. Marian Monson at the Astoria Library at 3. If you want to know anything, give me a call. I've got a huge list of things going on. Don't forget, Tuesday is the AAUW Talk at the Astoria Library. And the Shifties are going to be on my folk show at 11 a.m. and then at the PAC at 7. And Wednesday at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. And the Raymond Law Library is also making music on Tuesday. And David Campiche is giving a talk, Working with Ceramics, at the Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum on Thursday, along with the beginning of the 3 days of Flavel Festival with John Gutenberger at the Columbian Theater on Thursday night. Friday and Saturday are tours. Now we get the good, juicy stuff. Bri!
Yes.
Oh,
God,
you're good.
Wow,
that was great. So what's the story now? What's with Redbird?
Redbird. So
yes.
Redbird is a band that Dan Gilday and I put together, and this is featuring our original music, and then a lot of really tasty covers, kind of like from the, would you say our covers are like Bonnie Raitt-esque?
Bonnie Raitt-esque.
Soul.
Yeah, blues. Informed, blues informed by a little bit of jazz. And they're also, the band is formed of just really good people who we all really love each other.
So
and it's
the
so
two
much
of
fun.
You and then
and
some.
Then, and then yes. some. A bass player and a drummer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we got a full
Wait.
Band tonight.
Oh, really?
And tomorrow
all
night
four
as well.
Yes. Oh, it's
going
to okay. crush. It is
yes.
such a good
wow.
band.
Wow. Oh,
yep.
I'll be there tonight.
Yes, and it's a really cool project because it kind of features, the whole band is great, but it features my vocals, but it also features Dan's guitar playing. So we sort of go back and forth between these soaring vocals and these amazing guitar lines. So it's really a bluesy, soul kind of funky sound.
Well, I have to admit, Brie, maybe I told you this when I saw you at the Bonnie Raitt. I had no idea because they're hearing you right now.
Got it.
Okay.
What's my role in this puppet show?
This rich, full voice.
I'm just trying to hold my
and full of emotion and power.
Time is wasted.
And this beautiful, slim redhead
aww.
Who just looks like, really?
Right?
You can sing like that?
Right?
Isn't that true?
Right? Oh, no, I get that too. I'm like,
that's
what?
That's so nice. Thank
it
you.
Was, it's almost incongruous, but it's aww. So much fun.
Thank you.
So, nice. This is great. Yeah, considering that we have 2 minutes, I want you to tell us anything you want to tell. The main thing is be there tonight at Kala. 1017 Marine Drive in Astoria, or tomorrow evening at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center in Long Beach. What are people, what else? You did well on telling. And
yeah,
tell
it's the
else.
Only other thing that I would say is yes. if you can't come tonight, we do have a website. It's
yes.
redbirdband.com. And we have all, so we have these two new CDs that are just coming out. One is of the full band, and one is just Dan and I, a more acoustic treatment of our new songs. And we actually did this whole songwriting retreat up here in Long Beach with the help of the Peninsula Arts Center. So we wrote a lot of this music in this area.
Oh, neat.
And we love this music, and yeah. we want to share it as much as possible.
Yeah.
So please come. If you can't come, then listen. Go online and listen to all those tracks.
And literally, we have a minute because I'm going to bite into a minute of my next show. But where does all the singing come from? Where does all the music come from?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Wow. In 1 minute.
Yeah, that's deep.
Ah.
Hold on. Well,
have you been making music forever?
Yes, yeah. I mean, I studied music in college mm-hmm. and jazz specifically, but then I just became really into listening and transcribing music that I really loved. And from there came, when I sat down to write music, I found myself just, lots of stuff would come to mind and then translating it onto my instrument.
Do you sing at all, Dan?
I can sing, but I don't sing a lot, but I'm doing a little
well.
More.
He's been doing some backing vocals in this band.
But when you say the two of you write the lyrics and you write the music usually?
Sometimes. Is that how it's-